be blessed, and the word comes from the same root word happy does, but yet there's a distinct difference. Happy, it depends upon your circumstances. Blessed, you can be blessed in unhappy circumstances. You can be blessed when things aren't going the way you would like them to go. You can be blessed when you get a bad report from a doctor. You can be blessed when you're having issues within your family. You can be blessed in all sorts of circumstances in our lives. Sometimes we have this idea that life, once we get saved, is all supposed to just fall the way we want it to. And we get this idea that to be blessed means that we'll never be sorrowful, never have issues, never mourn, never have tribulations. But yet we find in studying Scripture that is not true. Jesus told them specifically, in this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. The word tribulation means to be have God to take his thumb and push you down, put pressure on you. Some people says, well, I've had tribulation. You've not had tribulation till you've been pressed. When you've been pressed down, you know that it hurts. He presses until it hurts. He presses until we have one place to look, and that's up. Amen. In chapter 5, tonight, I want to just share with you in verse number 4, and I want to deal with the fact of mourning, being blessed, yet sometimes having to mourn. You know, when you hear these two words together, it's sort of like what they call an oxymoron. Seem to be completely on both sides of the extreme scales. To be blessed is everything people thinks is going well, and yet to be mourn is when things aren't. But notice Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Tonight I want to share with you a thought about mourning in life and being blessed in life. And I want to preach upon this thought. 7 places I look for comfort when I'm mourning. So first of all, let me take you to the book of Ecclesiastes. Keep your Bible and flip with me if you would. We're going to go several places. Ecclesiastes. I've used this scripture many times in funerals. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, Solomon reminds us of something. God says his ways are not our ways and his thoughts not our thoughts. They're so much higher. As far as heaven is from the earth, that's how high his thoughts are from our thoughts. His ways are from our ways. So when we look here in chapter 7, the Bible says in verse 1, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Now that seems kind of odd, doesn't it? We celebrate birth and we mourn over death. But I'll tell you what, when a saint of God dies, there's not mourning in heaven. I'll guarantee you that. Amen. And even that old saint, first thing they do when that soul gets to heaven is they lift up praises unto the Lord. But look, if you would, in verse 2. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. In other words, it takes sometimes God's putting us through things to get us to the place where we need to be. It humbles us. It keeps us where we look to him and we realize and recognize that mourning is necessary. The Bible says it's better to go to the house of mourning to remember that we're all going to die one day. You know, when we go to a funeral, the first thing that it ought to remind you is, that might have been you in the casket. Are you ready? What would it be had it been you? Now, look a minute, if you would, and let's look in the book of Job. Job described life. Look, if you would, in Job chapter 14. Many of these verses you'll be familiar with. But I want to lay a little groundwork before I get to where I want to go. Job chapter 14. Verse number 1. Job said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of what? Trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeteth also as a shadow and continueth not. Let's look back in the book of Genesis chapter 47. Notice what Jacob said about life. Genesis chapter 47. Notice if you would in verse number 8. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and what? Evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not obtained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. He said, listen, I've gone through life. Job said, I've gone through life and it's full of trouble. Here he says, I've gone through my pilgrimage and I've had to face a lot of evil things in my life. Look what David said in the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter number 90. In Psalms chapter number 90, David relates to life. And he makes this statement. He says in verse 9, for all of our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is there strength, labor, and what? Sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Now, notice here that none of them pretended that life is going to be a bed of roses. We're going to have trouble. We're going to have evil. We're going to have sorrow. Paul said that he was afflicted and he had to learn how to abound and he had to learn how to be abased. He had to learn how to suffer and he had to learn how to rejoice. He had to learn those things in life because he was at all different sides of it. Now, if you look back in the book of John, Jesus promised that we would have some sorrow. Look, if you would, in John chapter number 16. In verse number 20, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. In Psalms 30, the Bible reminds us that weeping endureth for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Now, look just a few moments and stay with me. Now, I want to share with you 7 places that I look to for comfort when I'm mourning. Look, if you would, in your Bibles and follow along with me, 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Notice what Paul said there in verse number 3 and 4. He said, blessed be God, the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of what? All comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Look on over in Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. And those in Philippians chapter number 4, Paul reminds us that even in the midst of all being anxious and all that, we're to get away from that. And the Bible says in verse 6, be careful for nothing or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, there's a reason why that I find great comfort when I'm mourning and going through times of trouble. I find great comfort in going to our Heavenly Father. One is, the Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, that we can have perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon Him, who trusteth in Him. In other words, when we trust in the Lord, we can find perfect peace. Now, why do we have peace in our Heavenly Father? Number one, He knows all things. Do you ever wonder and think about this? He commands us to pray, but he already knows what we're going to pray before we pray. He already knows what we have need of before we even ask him. When a hair falls off our head, he's got it counted. When a sparrow falls to the ground, he knows. There's nothing going on in our life that God does not know about. And isn't it wonderful to know that whatever it is that's coming in your life, God has permitted that thing to happen. And if he wants to take it away, if he wants to use it for his glory, if he wants to heal you miraculously, if he wants to allow that thing to take you on to heaven, he can do that. But you know, he knows all things, and he's has all power. He's omnipotent. He can do anything he wants to. There's nothing that can stand in our Father's way of anything that he wants to do in any circumstances we got. I don't know about you, but that comforts my soul. Amen? And to know I'll never be anywhere, he's not there. He's there with me. He promised, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so you're not in it alone. You may feel alone sometimes. But I don't know about you, but when I am mourning and going through things that troubles my soul, it is just such a great comfort to know my Heavenly Father. Absolutely. You know what I do? I get alone from away from everybody. And I pour my heart out to God. And I do my very best to pour it out and get up and leave it there. Because he brings such peace, because I can trust in him. And I know there's not another person in the world can stop God from doing whatever he deems necessary in that situation. It's nice that he uses doctors. It's nice that he uses medicine. But he don't need anything like that. Amen. I'm glad that God can do things any way he wants to do those things. Amen. There's another comfort I find. Turning your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11. As I said, many of these are familiar verses, but I just want to bring a thought out in them. I found great comfort in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice what he says in chapter 11, verse number 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Look, if you would, in John chapter 14, real quickly. John chapter number 14. Notice verse number 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be what? I find great comfort. You know why I get comforted by Savior? Not only was he the Son of God that was willing to come down to the earth and leave all heaven had and come down to the earth and make himself as a servant in a form of man to die upon the cross of Calvary, to bear the sins of the world, and to make himself a sacrifice acceptable to the Father. And he suffered when he came here in so many ways. We'll never know. I'm not even sure in heaven we'll ever be able to obtain the depths of suffering that the Son of God did when his Father and him was departed for the first time in all eternity. And his Father had to turn his back, and the Son cried out, no longer my Father, but he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Forsaken for us. But I'll tell you why I get great comfort in Jesus. Because I know me. I am so disappointed in me. all God's done, and yet I still disappoint myself. But you know what? I am completely satisfied with Him.
Absolutely.
And see, I'm acceptable to the Father because of Him. I am justified before God by His blood. I am accepted before God because His righteousness has been imputed to me. And so therefore, I'm able to come boldly to the throne of grace. Listen, if it wasn't for my mediator, Jesus, I would be ashamed to come before the throne of grace. I couldn't come before God and ask Him of anything. I would be like the Old Testament saints. I would be fearful, and God would strike me dead in my position. But because Jesus, when He died, that veil was rent down the middle of the temple, and He allowed access that we can come boldly at the time of need to the throne of grace and ask God whatever we have going on. And you know what? I can come boldly, and I have great comfort in knowing that Jesus is my advocate. He is my mediator. He is the reason why I can approach Almighty Holy God. If it was just me, I would just shell away and say, oh God, no wonder I'm going through this. And I would not even expect no help, but through Jesus I can come. I get great comfort in knowing I have a perfect Savior that completely satisfied God, in whom He was well pleased. The third one is this. Notice if you would in John chapter 14 again, while you're there. Notice in verse number 15. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another what? Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth where? With you, and shall be where? In you. Look here. I get great comfort in the Holy Spirit of God. You know why? I am sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. I was born again by the Spirit. I have been sealed until the day of redemption. He lives within me. His Spirit witnesses with my spirit that I am a child of God. And when I'm going through these times and I'm mourning and I'm going through these and I'm facing these issues in my life, He reminds me that I'm a child of God, and He witnesses with me. And you know what? There is nothing that will comfort your soul anymore. And the word comforter there means that you, it's where Jesus was present bodily among His disciples. Now the Holy Spirit makes us feel God present among us. And there's nothing that relieves your anxiety, nothing that takes away your worry, nothing that will comfort your soul anymore than when you feel God's presence in the midst of whatever you're going through. And so therefore, I'm comforted in my Heavenly Father. I'm confident in the Savior, His Son, my precious Redeemer. I'm comforted in the Holy Spirit that He's gave me, because I know that He will always be there with me, and He'll always help me. And even when I don't know how to pray, I don't even know what to pray, thank God He knows how to intercede on my behalf to God in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. I also find comfort somewhere else. Look, if you would, in Romans chapter number 15. In Romans 15. Look, if you would, in verse number 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our what? Learning, that we through patience and what? Comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Boy, right here brings me great comfort. Oh, I tell you what, when I'm going through something, I get in the Word of God. And as I was telling you this morning, a situation I went through, and God gave me a verse, and that verse carried me all the way through my situation. I posted it upon the mantles of my house, upon every wall, everywhere. As a matter of fact, you still come in my house some places, it's still posted. But you know why? It's because this word brings great comfort. And to know that the Word of God is truth. And therefore, whatever I read, anymore you hear things and you see things, you don't know what to believe out here. But I'm glad we have the truth. And you know what? When God makes a promise, He cannot lie. And therefore, look here, I don't even argue eternal security. know why? God, who cannot lie, has promised me eternal life.
That's right.
And I really, nothing that you can say can change my mind on that. You know why? Because God's not going to lie about that. Neither is he going to lie about anything else. And therefore, whenever I'm mourning, there's no greater thing than get in the Word of God and be able to find and count on verses and hold those verses true. Did you ever notice when Jesus was tempted, where he went to? Went to the book. Went to the Word. Did you ever notice when all the saints of God, when they were having issues, where they went to? They went to the Word of God. We need to find great comfort in the Word of God. I don't know about you, but boy, this Bible brings me great comfort. Amen. And listen, there's no reason to change it. Amen. There's no reason to change it. I don't see one reason why, because boy, it's full of great promises and it's alive. Did you ever get into it and you just feel how it's alive? Did you ever have it just speaking to your heart? And man, God just speaks to you.
Amen.
Sometimes right in the middle of service, God just speaks to you.
Yeah.
Something from the Word of God. Many times people come and say, oh, preacher, boy, I saw this today, thank God. And it'll be something I didn't even see. But it's because God spoke to their heart.
Absolutely.
So I find great comfort in the Word of God. Therefore, I keep going to it when I'm in trouble. Not only that, but look if you would in 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. During that time I was telling you about this morning, I was sharing with them, Brother Sisson, and I'm not going to rehearse it again, but it was one of the most trying times I ever had in church here. Brother Sisson doesn't know this, but he came down and he preached the first revival that this church ever had. I don't know that you knew that. You preached the first revival service that this church ever had. They'd never had a revival service. When God called me at this church, I was out preaching. I preached in probably 90 some churches around here. And there was a bigger church that called and wanted me to go full time. But I told my wife, I said, God's not in this. I know he's not calling me. And this preacher called me and he said, would you go down to a little church in Burnside on French Avenue and preach? And he says, Jordan Baptist. I said, Jordan Baptist? I said, I've never heard of it. He said, well, he said, it's a little. He said, it's too little for me to go down there and preach. And he said, I know you. You'll preach anywhere.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was a compliment or what it was. And I said, yeah, I'll go preach. I went down there that Sunday morning, didn't know anything about the church, and when I went in there, I knew nothing, I knew nobody. There was just a handful of people there. I didn't know anybody that was there. I didn't know if they were without a pastor. I didn't know what was going on. Some of you have heard me this testimony before. Nobody said anything to me about why they were having to fill in, and I thought maybe their pastor went on vacation or something. But nobody said a word about it, and I didn't ask questions. But I went out to the car after I preached that Sunday morning, first time. I told my wife, I said, God called me to pastor this church. She said, they ask you? I said, no, nobody knows it but you and God and me. I went back to my home church, which was Celine. I told Brother Broughton, Brother Sisson. I told Brother Broughton, I said, Brother Broughton, you got to fill all my positions. I said, God's called me to pastor a church down there. He said, they called you the first time you preached there? I said, no, they haven't called me yet. I said, God called me.
Yes.
I said, he told me, and he spoke to my heart, told me he wanted me to build a church out of this little bank building here.
This
and so he said, are you sure? I said, I'm positive. And so he said, I'll find people to fill your position. I didn't say nothing to nobody else. And I went down and preached again. And the third week, they were calling me and voting for me to be pastor of the church. And I'm going to tell you something. I said all that to say this. Look, if you would, in chapter 7, verse number 5. The Bible says, for when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, and within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. I was greatly comforted by men like Brother Sisson. You come and preach that revival, brother, and they never had a revival there. As a matter of fact, the thing that I was having the battle with, we were voting on having missionaries. And probably the most prosperous guy I ever had come in church was against it, said we couldn't afford $25, won't take Raymond Sorrells on as missionary. I told the church this morning, tried his best to split the church. Every time I'd preach, he tried to find some little something I said wrong and challenged me in front of everybody. Didn't know how to deal with it, and God gave me that peace and gave me that verse. But you know, we end up giving $25,000 to missions that year instead of $25. But you know what? God would send men, and I remember Brother Broughton coming. He brought his church down. We just had a few people coming to our church. And he brought his whole church down several times. And he'll never understand how that comforted me. But I'll never forget one time that had a guy that was, he stood up and he said he was just going to preach because I wouldn't invite him to preach at church. And there were several reasons I wouldn't invite him. And he said he was going to preach anyway. And he was going to preach on sidewalk. And right in front of when Brother Broughton and all that church, we had a whole house full. And I was so embarrassed. Young pastor. Didn't know how to react. And so I told Brother Broughton afterwards, I couldn't close it down fast enough. And I thought, oh, I was just dying inside. I said, can I talk to you? He said, yeah. And I said, he's going to give me great words of wisdom and comfort. And I met him at a restaurant, and I went in. And I said, I was on the brink of tears. And he looked at me. He started laughing and smacking his knee. I said, brother, I'm tore all to pieces. He said, yeah, I was just thinking better you than me. And and then he told me later on, he said, brother, I went through something like that when the first church I had. And he was telling me about it, but, you know, just like while we were gone, just like when Brother Dana come, men of God that God sends by brings us great comfort. How many men has God sent through here, and they brought such comfort to us? Sometimes they didn't know what you were going through, and yet they seem to preach just what you need to hear. Or either they're going through something, and it's able, and through the men of God, we find great comfort. And you know, I'll say this. God sent us good ones all the time. Man, I think of all the ones that's come through here, and God has blessed us so well with having people that's come through this church. Not only that, but look if you would in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Look if you would in verse number 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves, what? And edify one another, even as also you do. I get great comfort from the church. We're able to bear one another's burdens. We're able to pray for one another. Lift one another up. The church is not some place to be a bunch of pious, unrighteous people that looks down their noses at everybody. We're to recognize we're nothing but a bunch of sinners saved by the grace of God. And when we see someone fall, we need to love them enough to pick them up and restore such a one. We need to look and realize it could have been us. We need to reach out and help out. When someone's going through hard times, we need to be there for them. Love each other. Many times in service, sometimes somebody will stand up and give a testimony. And it'll just stir my soul. And somebody said, well, I hate it. I took time. I said, don't hate it. If God moves upon you to give a testimony, give your testimony. You don't know who you might be helping. And isn't it good to be able to go to a place where other people has gone through what you're going through? I mean, brother, sister, just gone through this cancer. Darlene right behind him has been diagnosed with cancer in her neck. She's going Tuesday. And isn't it good to have one another to pray and know that we're praying for you and we're lifting you up? Brother Jim, just coming out of one. It's good to have the church. That's why we're not forsake to assemble ourselves together. That's why God promotes the church. We need the church. You need the church. Your children needs the church. The church is so important. And the church is a place of great comfort, that we can comfort one another. Sometimes it blesses my heart when I see someone that's got a broken heart come to the altar, and I see four or five coming down and crying and putting their arms all around them and praying with them. Such a blessing. Had one lady one time told me, my sister Doris back there, she used to come to the altar quite a bit, and she had a great burden on her heart, and she come to me one day and she said, I worry about your sister. She's all the time coming to the altar. I said, well, I worry about you because I never see you on the altar. And you know what? The truth of the matter is, we need to understand that we all need this. We all can get closer. We all fail. We all fall short. And therefore, the church is made together. Ecclesia is a called out assembly of God's saved saints of God, that we come and been baptized to be part of a body, to be part of a group, to be the bride of Christ. And some, I tell you, I get great comfort in the church. Last but not least, turn if you would, while you're there, to chapter 4. Look in verse 13. But I would not have you ignorant, to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, what? Comfort one another with what? I'm comforted to know this. Regardless of who gets in for president, the Lord is coming. Sooner or later, the Lord's going to come. And when he comes, he'll go start a process that will be setting things right and preparing the world to face his kingdom. Yes, sir. And he'll reign upon this earth as never before. So I don't know about you, but I get great, great comfort in knowing that those who have died are waiting to come back. There's going to be a great reunion day one of these days whenever he comes for the saints that are alive. And we're not going to prevent those that are dead. They will come with him. They'll be changed in a twinkle of an eye. And we shall be changed together with them in heaven. And thank God, then we'll start the process of going through the purification process into the wedding. And then we will reign with him. What a blessed thought. So listen. When he says, blessed are they which are mourned, we can understand that it's not an oxymoron, but through God we have great comfort. Now let me just give you this and we'll close. What does people do that doesn't have the Lord? How in the world, you know what they have to do? Their hope has to be in this world, the things of this world, or they have to believe lies and have refuge of lies. Our only hope is in God. And man, if we have the Lord, we have great comfort whenever it time comes time that we mourn about things in our life. Amen.
there.
Would you get us a verse, please? Or, maybe tonight you're here and you're not saved. Friend, I'm going to tell you something about this old world. It's too wicked, it's too evil to try to go through alone. And let me tell you something else. Death is not the journey that you want to take alone. You want to have the Lord with you. To know that if He's with you, His rod and His staff, they comfort us through the Word of God. And yet, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. You don't want to make these journeys alone. It's so good to have the Lord. Can you say, I'm blessed? Man, we are blessed. I don't care what you're going through, you're blessed if you've got the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen. 407.